Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high I can't get over it. So low I can't get under it. So wide can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to the Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. It's very good of you to tune in. I really appreciate your company and I hope you will find it to be well worth your while. In the next few moments, there'll be very moving music and some profound patter and potentially life-changing things to think about. Our theme is the most wonderful thing in the world. Pause to think, what is the most wonderful thing in the world? Grace. Actually, grace is not a thing. It's not something to be pinned down by some definition. Grace is really something to be felt and experienced, to be enjoyed, and is best conveyed by examples of it. So let's do that right now, in word and song, starting with Anne Murray, who found an experience of grace which made her want to sing about it.
I cried a tear, you wiped it dry. I was confused, you cleared my mind. I sold my soul, you bought it back for me and held me up and gave me dignity. Somehow you needed me, you gave me strength to stand alone again, to face the world out on my own again. You put me high upon a pedestal, so high almost see eternity. You needed me, you needed me. And I can't believe it's you, I can't believe it's true. I needed you, and you were there. And I'll never I finally found someone who really cares. You held my hand when it was cold, when I was lost. You took me home, you gave me hope. When I was at the end and turned my life back into truth again, you even called me friend. You gave me strength to stand alone again, to face the world out on my. Put me high upon a pedestal, so high that I could almost see eternity. You needed me, you needed me.
So we're thinking tonight about grace and trying to get illustrations of that. And there was a really good example of it on the news just recently. There was a dolphin which had got into difficulties because it was wrapped around by a fishing line and it had a hook in it. And as the more it wriggled, the more it was entangled. And the dolphin saw some divers and it wriggled over towards the divers and its face basically was saying, "Help." And it was a beautiful picture of the dolphin and the humans having to trust each other and work together. The dolphin just stayed there while a diver took a knife out of his pocket, a sharp knife, and cut the wire and prized out the hook and did the necessary surgery to help the dolphin to be released. And the dolphin had to have the trust in this total stranger diver to let him do that with his knife. It was absolutely beautiful to see it on the TV. That's an example of grace given and grace received. And it's not just dolphins whose lives get tangled up and need help. Here's Ronnie Ross.
You say that nobody cares where you're going, and that your life don't mean nothing at all. You've heard the saying, you reap what you're sowing. So plant a good seed and watch it grow tall. Somewhere a man's got no woman to turn to. Somewhere a woman is lonely and blue. Somewhere a child's got no mama to hold her. Someone is looking for someone like you. You say there's no road that you care to travel. Nothing to say that ain't been said before. And life's a mystery that you can't unravel. Well, love's the key that will open the door. Somewhere a man's got no woman to turn to. Somewhere a woman is lonely and blue. Somewhere a child's got no mama to hold her. Someone is looking for someone like you. Think of all the time we spend complaining. Think of all the good that could be done. Think of all the friends we could be.
In the Bible, there's a story about a man called Zacchaeus who was looking for Jesus. He even climbed a tree to get a better view. He got the shock of his life when he discovered that Jesus was on the lookout for him. Here's Jamie Stewart telling us the story, followed by Alistair MacDonald singing about it.
When Jesus went on into Jericho, there was this man called Zacchaeus. He was the head tax man for the district and so was quite rich. In fact, he was really loaded. But though he had plenty of money, he wasn't what you might call happy and was dead keen to meet this Jesus he'd heard about. Zacchaeus, being a wee man, can't get near on account of the great crowd of folk surrounding Jesus. So he decides to climb up a sycamore tree beside the road to watch. When Jesus eventually comes along, he spies Zacchaeus. Looking up, he shouts, "Hey there, wee man! Come down, will you? I've decided to invite myself to your house for a meal this afternoon." To say that wee Zacchaeus was fair chuffed is putting it mildly. The rest of the folk, by the way, weren't they very pleased that Jesus was going to eat with a man they caught a crook. But already, Zacchaeus is a changed man. He says to Jesus, "Lord, see me, I'm going to give half of my money to the poor, and I'll promise to look after all the folk that have cheated so well." Jesus turned round to the dumbfounder crowd and tell them to hod their wheesht. This man was a sinner, he said, "he's found peace at last."
News Zacchaeus was a tottery man, aye, a tottery man was he. And he climbed into a sycamore tree, for he wanted the Lord to see. And as Lord Jesus passed that way, he looked into the tree. And he said, "Zacchaeus, come down from there, for I'm going to your house for tea." Now Zacchaeus was a changed wee man when he came down from that tree. So never be feared to meet with the Lord, for he's there for you and me. I never be feared to meet with the Lord, for he's there for you and me. And if he can pay it for a man like Zacchaeus, he can pay it for you and me. Now when we Zacchaeus come down for the tree, just as happy as a bloke could be. He gave good money to the poor, saying, "I'm a better man, you'll see. 'Cause I robbed the folk and it made me rich, but I'm finished with hypocrisy. I was ever brash for collecting cash, but the Lord has set me free. So never be feared to find the Lord, for he's there to set us free. And if he can do it for a man like Zacchaeus, he can do it for you and me. I'll never be feared to find the Lord, for he's there for you and me. And if he can do it for a man like Zacchaeus, he can do it for you and me. Aye, if he can do it for a man like Zacchaeus, he can do it for you and me."
And here is... So have you ever been Zacchaeus? Has anyone ever come along into your life and knocked you off your perch, and in a short space of time, completely transformed your life? It has happened to me. I was the best man, and I met the bridesmaid at a wedding. Now she is my wife. But I want to share with you another Zacchaeus-type meeting that I had. I used to be a student in America at Princeton Seminary, and one day I was standing in the lunch queue waiting for my food when another student came up to me saying, "President McCord wants to see you, right now. He's over there at the door." What a shock. Goodness gracious me. It's like hearing the head teacher wants to see you right away. My first thought was, oh no, what have I done wrong? President McCord was the head of the whole seminary, the top man. The seminary was 200 years old last year, and he was only the fourth president ever. He was not only the president of the seminary, he was a professor, an author, world famous, and president of all the Reformed churches in the world. You get the point, the biggest big shot I'd met up to that point. It just so happens I was reading about his life story recently. One interesting fact about him is he read a book every single day of his life. Completed reading a book every day. He was quite a clever man, put it that way. Anyway, I put my tray down, left the queue, and went over to meet him. I was very surprised and nervous, but a little bit proud as I walked past my pals, with them thinking, why did the president pick him out? President McCord said, "Come with me and we'll have lunch together, plus a couple of other guests." So we had the vice president of the seminary, and then, surprise, surprise, my own professor from Aberdeen University over in America, Professor James Torrance. Well, I couldn't refuse an offer like that, a bit like Zacchaeus. So we went to Princeton Country Club, one of the poshest places in America. I was a bit speechless and a bit overawed, but I was fascinated to listen to three professors talking in first-name terms about their pals, who turned out to be world-famous writers of the books that I was studying. I remember the experience very well, even although it's 33 years ago now.
My heart rejoice. Speak to me, speak to me.
I wonder if you've seen the latest hit film, Les Miserables, based on the famous long-running musical, Les Miserables. It's certainly my favourite musical, and it's one of the best examples I can think of grace. That's why I think it takes a trick with people. It begins with a man breaking into a bishop's house to steal his valuables, and the police catch him in the act. But the bishop saves his skin, pretending that he had given the burglar the stolen goods. He says, "You forgot these two candlesticks as well." And the burglar goes free, scratching his head. "Why did he do that for me?" That is an experience of grace. The world usually mistakes grace for being soft. The world cannot possibly understand grace, because grace is not human. It's God's gift to us. It's how God treats us. And the whole of that film and that play is hinged around this, that when we launch out and reach out to others and give them grace and it transforms them, they become gracious to others too. Here is the police speaking with the bishop and the burglar.
His reverence your story.
Let us see if he's impressed.
You were lunching here last night.
You were the honest bishop's guest. And then out of Christian goodness, when he learned about your plight,
you maintain he made a present of this silver.
That is right. But my friend, you left so early, something surely slipped your mind. You forgot I gave these also. Would you leave the best behind? So, messieurs, you may release him, for this man has spoken true. I commend you for your duty, and God's blessing go with you. And remember this, my brother, see in this some higher plan. You must use this precious silver to become an honest man. By the witness of the martyrs, by the passion and the blood, God has raised you out of darkness. I have bought your soul for
God. What have I done, sweet Jesus, what have I done? Become a thief in the night, become a dog on the run. Have I fallen so far, and is the hour so late, that nothing remains but the cry of my hate? The cries in the dark that nobody hears. Here where I stand at the turning of the years. If there's another way to go, I missed it 20 long years ago. My life was a war that could never be won. They gave me a number and murdered Valjean when they chained me and left me for dead, just for stealing a mouthful of bread. Yet why did I allow that man to touch my soul and teach me love? He treated me like any other. He gave me his trust. He called me brother. My life he claims for God above. Can such things be? For I had come to hate the world. this world that always hated me. Take an eye for an eye, turn your heart into stone. This is all I have lived for, this is all I have known. One word from him and I'd be back, the lash upon the rack. Instead he offers me my freedom. I feel my shame inside me like a knife. He told me that I had a soul. How does he know? What spirit comes to move my life? Is there another way to go? I am reaching, but I fall, and the night is closing in, and I stare into the void, to the whirlpool of my sin. I'll escape now from the world of Jean Valjean. Jean Valjean is nothing now. Another story must begin.
Valjean has been dehumanized by the blows he has received in life up till then. But the bishop's grace has given him a fresh start, another way to live, and he's determined to seize it. It will involve a death of the old Valjean, but he will shed that skin and he will take on the new reformed character of Valjean Mark II. The villain now becomes the hero, the sinner the saint, the life transformed for the better by one small act of grace. What is interesting and is the heart of the whole musical is to see Valjean's conversion mirrored in the opposite way by Javert's decline and disintegration all the way down into suicide. Javert has started off as the just and righteous policeman who was devoted to the upholding of law and justice. However, in his relentless pursuit of Valjean, he has allowed it to get under his skin and become something personal and bitter, indeed vindictive and cruel. It was eating him up. When Jean Valjean has the chance to kill his long-standing enemy, the transformed new man Valjean doesn't kill him, but instead exercises the same grace which the bishop had given to him. But this is too much for Javert. He cannot understand it. He cannot accept it. Grace is not human. Grace is God's character, not ours. Humans find it hard to give grace and hard to receive grace. It is ironic how grace, pure goodness, can be the cause of suicide in those who reject it.
Who is this man? What sort of devil is he? To have me caught in a trap and choose to let me go free. It was his hour at last to put a seal on my fate. Wipe up the past and wash me clean off the slate. All it would take was a flick of his knife. Vengeance was his and he gave me back my life. Done if I live in the debt of the thief. Done if I yield at the end of the chase. I am the law and the law is not mocked. I'll spit his pity right back in his face. There is nothing on earth that we share. It is either Valjean or Javert. How can I now allow this man to hold dominion over me? This desperate man that I have hunted, he gave me my life, he gave me freedom. I should have perished by his hand. It was his right. It was my right to die as well. In Instead I live, but live in hell. And my thoughts fly apart. Can this man be believed? Shall his sins be forgiven? Shall his crimes be reprieved? And must I now begin to doubt? Who never doubted all those years? My heart is stone and still it trembles. The world I have known is lost in shadow. Is he from heaven or from hell? And does he know that granting me my life today, this man has killed me? Even so, I am reaching, but I fall, and the stars are black and cold as I stare into the void of a world that cannot hold. I'll escape now from that world, from the world of Jean Valjean. There is nowhere I can turn. There is no way to go
That is the very core of the whole musical film Les Misérables, that Valjean dies a death to the old Valjean to be reborn to a new man who experiences grace and is a giver of grace to others. But Javert, he just dies a death. He can't face rebirth to this new life of grace. He can't accept it, so he just dies. In the Bible, both Judas Iscariot and Peter let down their friend Jesus. Both were miserable. Both had sinned. But look at the difference in their response. Judas just goes and hangs himself. And that's the end. Peter doesn't hang himself. He hangs around. And Jesus is able to forgive him and exercise grace. And he gets a new start. And he ends up the leader of the Christians. The hymn Amazing Grace was written by John Newton. He was a slave trader, a ship's captain, who took slaves from Africa to America. But he was converted and became a Christian. He became a minister. He became a hymn writer. And looking back on his life from an old age of about 80, he wrote this hymn, Amazing Grace. God loves me even as a slave trader, and he can turn my life around. And unlike other people who won't accept God's grace, he did accept it and had his life turned round. And the world needs us to extend God's grace to one another, and it will change the world completely. I can't resist finishing with the benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Grace that taught.